Hello, hi, welcome to Igbo Queer and Unfiltered Podcast. My name is Charles Okeke. Hope you are doing well. Okay, religion is such a big problem in Africa. But before we get into that, I want to just share some of the random comments I have on my TikTok and Instagram this week. These are the ones that I just wanted to just share because some of them is not something that I want to pay attention to because I have videos with some of it over 7,000 comments, some of them 3,000 comments. Some of my videos have more shares than likes. I have a particular video where the shares is like about something thousand and the likes is like 8. I'm just saying people are just weird. And the reason why most of these things happen is because of what they've been taught by way of religion. Because they've been told that being gay, being LGBTQIA+, is horrible. It is a sin. It is not of Africa. I'm going to read a few of these texts. I screenshotted. I have six screenshots. And I think some of them might have different comments. Okay, let me read them to you. This person said, but when God created the world, he didn't create Adam and Adam or Eve and Eve. He created two different gender for a reason. I have said this consistently. A lot of these people suffer from religious psychosis. When someone is not in touch with reality, there is nothing whatsoever you can say to them that will make sense to them. I watched a program recently on Netflix. You need to go and watch this. This program is insane. It is called Trust Me, the False Prophet. This man, the youngest wife he has is 9 years old. There's a particular family. I think one of the families have he married 5 girls from one family and I think 7 from one family. Something like this. He had 23 wives and he's in jail. The reason why I'm saying this is that they used the name of God. He used God to brainwash these innocent children and their family. And the one that was so, so sad as well is one of the girls. The father was involved. Trigger warning here. Trigger warning because this involved sexual abuse. And the man was there and he would call some of these people and say, the God said this and this and that and this and that. Thank goodness he's been sent to jail with all his people that did all the things. And some of the older women as well went to jail. This is absolutely crazy what people do in the name of God. They just made these girls, they brainwashed them so badly that they don't have common sense. I went on a tangent there, but I just wanted to let you know what is going on here. And some of these people were saying, oh, he's the prophet. And you know what? Even with him going to jail, some of these women still believed that he is their prophet. Can you fucking imagine? They are so brainwashed that even with all the evidence and all of the things, some of them still believed that he is their prophet. This is the same thing that is happening to this one that is telling me Adam and Adam, Eve and Eve, that God did not create anything like this. Homosexuality is a natural variation of human sexuality. People are born gay. People are born straight. Nobody chooses to be gay. It is so fucking weird when some of you cannot even think with your common sense. Oh, the Bible said, I'm going to tell you a story. When I was at University of Maiduguri, I had some friends that were going to Christ Embassy, it's called, and they called it Believer's Love Ward at my school at the time. I think this is what they call it in all the Nigerian universities. They will always say, Pastor Chris said this. And I will be looking at them. Are you okay? Why are you always quoting a man like you? So whatever this man says is the right thing. Do you know what was so sad? Some of these students will use their pocket money that their parents gave to them to organize things for this church and buy food and do things. Pocket money. You are a fucking student. They tried so hard with me. And I'm like, my dear, I'm not interested. I am not interested. I'm not coming to your church. The Catholic church that I went to at the time, I wasn't even going to church every Sunday. And you want me to come and be doing Brother Chris, Brother Peter, Brother that, and then spend the money that I don't have and give it to a church? Absolutely not. I did not fucking do that. A lot of people, when you try to speak to them about things like this, they will be like, oh, you are just evil. You are going to go to hell. You are a sinner. Your culture is barbaric. Blah, 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 blah. No. Let's get into these text messages. Okay. I'm going to read the remainder of it and then I will tell you what I think. Okay. So this one said, bro, you look too strong for this. Because this one needs to be explained. Because what they are saying to me is that I don't look gay. I am too manly to be gay. I don't wear makeup. I am supposed to wear lashes, wear wigs, dress like a woman for me to be a homosexual. That is what they say. And then at the same time, when you are not doing that, they will say to you, oh, wear a wig. I just wanted to explain this because this may not even make sense to anybody. Because even me from Nigeria, it took me for the longest of time to understand what they meant. Because I kept asking people, what does that even mean? And then they explained to me. And then I have this one. I've been seeing your vids. I know they will definitely reach those that are struggling with LGBT and help them be confident. Thanks, uncle. This was really, really amazing. Like, some people leave good messages and good comments. This was so amazing that this person understood and she's a woman, young girl as well. And I said to them, thank you so, so much. This is super, super amazing. Then you get into this one. Come to Bamenda, Cameroon, please. We will welcome you in a grand way. You know what this means? I know I said I'm going to explain this after I read, but I'm still going to explain as I go along, and then I will summarize what I think about all of this nonsense, okay? And then somebody underneath it said, village dancers will welcome him at the airport. And this person now wrote in broken English, how far, where you they live, me and my guys won't greet you. So this is what they do. They say to you, drop location and whatever. I get this from Nigerians, from people from Cameroon, Ghana, like literally all over Africa. It's crazy. So when they say drop your location, that they will welcome me, what they mean is that if they see me, they are going to attack me and beat me or maybe do something to me. Because some of them go as far as ending LGBTQIA+ individuals' lives. It is so crazy. And sometimes when you see things like this, it needs to be taken serious. I know some of them are just keyboard warriors that are really, really miserable and unhappy with their lives. But majority of the times, these messages need to be taken seriously. And then this one says, with laughing emojis, three laughing emojis, black men, what happened? Poverty can make people do weird things. I come from Nigeria, and Nigeria is a country where people love to shame people when you are poor. They think that your life is miserable. And I do not believe that you should shame people for not having money. I will never, ever disrespect somebody for not having money, for being poor, for not doing well for themselves, because I wasn't raised that way. But Nigeria as a country is what they do. I remember one time I was hosting TikTok lives, and some of the guys that were gay people, when people insult them and say things to them, they would be like, do you know how much I pay in my rent in London, in Manchester? I pay this in Leeds, yada, yada, yada. And I would say to them, don't do that. Don't be telling people that you're better than them when you have conversations or you have argument with them. Just talk to them and tell them not to speak to you crazy, because it is not a good thing to be poor. It is not a good thing. Nobody wants to be poor. There are people who work really, really hard, who are extremely smart, who are clever and have done everything wonderful for themselves and are not lucky, no opportunities for them to do well for themselves financially and have a better life. And it is not their fault. They have done everything right. Sometimes you can be poor based on where you were born, where you were raised, or the family that you come from. There's so many things that can make you not to be successful, even when you've done things right. So I do not like this. And I make sure that I tell them this all the time. Okay, let's see what message we have left. Okay, what's the next one? So this one, I have a lot here. This one said that just HIV and anus infection remain. This was written in broken English. And this one said, stop putting Igbo in your skit stroke scene video. If you think your ancestors are happy with you, go village and make this type of video. Let's see what will happen. Okay, there's so many layers to this. Someone is saying they think that gay people have HIV and they're going to have anal infection whatever, and that I should not say that I'm an Igbo person, that my ancestors don't love me. Homophobia was brought to Africa by way of colonization. And when it came to Africa, they came with the missionaries through religion. So basically, throughout history, especially in many African contexts and many African countries, okay, this is nothing new. We know it is very clear that a lot of people are suffering from religious wahala. Religion has not only shaped our belief system, it has shaped the African people's way of obedience, the way we respect, the way we do things. There is a massive difference between faith and religious institutions. Faith is internal. It's how you see things. Like, I have faith. I'm someone that believes in things, and I believe in treating people kindly, respecting people. I believe that every human being has some form of right. And I have a sensor in me that tells me that this is bad and this is good, that I shouldn't treat people less than, that I shouldn't be mean, that I shouldn't maim people or go ahead and unalive people or steal from people or treat people less than, because I have faith in me. It is internal. But institutions are organized power. It is a framework that is used to control you. That is why I was referencing the documentary I was talking about. And the same thing is with these whole people. When you go to some of these churches in places like Nigeria and other African countries, they use these institutions to control people. They make you pay tithes, give them your money. They don't care about your belief systems. So far as you come to that church every day and you give them money and they control you and make sure that you don't think with your common sense. This is what institutions like this do. Your faith can be quiet, extremely quiet within you, reflective and personal. Faith is a personal thing. But one thing is that institutions we know, like some of these churches and the Catholic Church and every other place, all this religion create rules, and rules create hierarchy. This is why they look at gay people as beneath them. Hierarchy creates control. Is that clear to you? Institutions create rules. Rules create hierarchies. Hierarchy creates control. And the thing is that once a belief becomes centralized with leaders, that's why you have a lot of this man of God, systems, consequences, it stops being just spiritual. It becomes political. Everything is political. I have heard people that are extremely clever than me say this. And I used to remember when I was at University of Maiduguri, I remember someone saying this. I didn't really understood what they were trying to say. It was years later that I really, really understood. And we as a people need to begin to do something, because religion is doing a lot of harm to us. It is not about teaching you anything good. It is not about teaching you to love people. It is about control and hierarchy and rules and regulations that will keep you in poverty, keep you where you're supposed to be, make you not to challenge anything. Do you think that if heaven and hell is a thing, that some of your pastors will care about having private jets, wearing all these designer outfits, living a good life, living in mansions? No, what they will do instead is forfeit all of those things, because heaven is real, right? You should forfeit all of those things, because I'm going to go to hell and go and live in this paradise. But my dear, heaven and hell is a mindset. Depending on what your situation is, you will be living in hell. That is why life flogs some of you mercilessly, because you are not good people. Let's look into what control can look like and what it looks like. Control does not always look like force. It looks like fear of hell, fear of shame, fear of exclusion, fear of divine punishment. You don't need the police when people self-police. Can we just say this again? You do not fucking need the police when people self-police. Religion becomes extremely powerful when it regulates sexuality, gender roles, the way you dress, your marriage, the way you speak, and every other fucking thing that has to do with your life. When communities fuse morality with divine command, questioning becomes rebellion. And rebellion becomes sin. Look at me. Look at me. I am a sinner in the front and in the eyes of a lot of these people because I refuse to be controlled, to do the things that they want me to do. You know what all of this thing is to them? All the control, the command, and all of these things. It is effective. It is efficiency. That is efficient control. That means they have you in the palm of their hands and can swing you left, right, center, above, and toss and turn you anyhow they want. We need to wake up. We as a people need to fucking wake up. In many African societies, religion is not separate from identity. It is woven into family structures, political systems and debate, education, community, our administrative situations that we call colonial administrations. And you know what happens? It is mixed and garnered and meshed together with the missionary systems that was brought to us. Spiritual authority, they use this all the time. They put in God. I am a spiritual person, but that is not in this way. It's not in their way. Their spiritual authority reinforces their political authority. That is why, for instance, if you look around the world now, what happens in so many places, you will see leaders that are extremely horrible leaders, but they will mention God and religion. And a lot of these people will be like, oh, he is our Messiah. He is doing everything right. He is a man of God. I have been told so many times, mentioning a particular leader's name, that they will come for me because this leader is righteous and religious and believe in God, that they will come for people like me. And I'll be looking at them, you are not okay. But you know what happens with all of these things is that religion becomes intertwined with our governments, our governance, our laws, and our social lives and rules and regulations and things like this. And when religion defines morality at a national level, this sense becomes dangerous. If you don't do what you're required to do, like in most of African countries where it is illegal to be gay, even when people don't see you in the act, now all of a sudden, whatever you are doing is against the law. Everybody's policing you. Everybody's telling you that it is against the law in this country. We are going to report to you. It becomes a massive problem. And this is dangerous for queer people. It is especially dangerous for women, especially dangerous for queer people, as I said, especially dangerous for vulnerable people, for people who have no power. This is why the things that has happened in Ghana with anti-LGBTQIA laws, Senegal, Nigeria, Burkina Faso, Kenya and other places, it is wild. Because now they've made it that if someone sees you, they think that they have the right to speak to you crazy. I mentioned this last week. A young man was minding their business. This young man is not even a homosexual because they thought, oh, he's dressed gay. All of a sudden, they took the laws into their hands and started to attack this individual for nothing. Meanwhile, in the same state where this happened, someone was unalived and no justice for this individual. The policing of sexuality happens a lot when it comes to religion. A majority of people who don't speak to me that I was friends with and some relatives of mine, the reason why they have a problem with me is because of my sexuality. And when you ask them why, they will tell you that the Bible said that it's wrong. God condemns it. God did not create Adam and Adam. God did not create Eve and Eve. And I'm referencing to this comment on some of my videos. It is just very few areas in our culture that are policed more heavily than sexual orientation. You know why? The reason why sexuality is a massive problem for them is that sexuality challenges hierarchy. If you can control who people love, marry, and reproduce with, you can control lineage and power structures. And this is what they are trying to do every fucking time. And the thing is that religious doctrine, scriptures, the Bible, and everything that is included often becomes the justification for that control. I need you to ask yourself this. Ask yourself extremely. Sit on it. Think deeply. ask yourself, why does an all-powerful deity need constant human enforcement? If God is powerful, as they said, supreme and all-conquering and everything, why does he need human beings to enforce it constantly? I need you to ask yourself these questions. I have asked these questions to some of the good-for-nothing people who insult me every fucking time, who tell me that I'm going to go to hell, that my life is spoiled, that my life is finished. And none of them have any meaningful answer that makes sense. Ask yourself this. And I've looked into it. I always think that I have some form of morals in me. I do, actually. But when I look at some of these people, I look at them and I'm like, there is a massive, massive problem. Because some of you will come and call me Ekwensu, the devil, evil person. But you are the devil. You are the evil person. And the thing is, when moral panic is louder than compassion, something deeper is at play. Because they try as much as possible to panic you morally, for you to start thinking that, oh, whatever I'm doing is wrong, blah, blah, blah. No, something deeper is at play. And that something deeper is they are controlling you. You are literally a puppet. That's what you are. A lot of you lack critical thinking. This is why I will never, ever argue with some Nigerians and some African people, because it is like you pouring water into a colander. It is like you pouring water into a basket. You will never get anywhere with someone who don't think with their common sense. You will never get anywhere with someone who is suffering from religious oppression and religious psychosis. You will never, ever, because nothing you are going to say to someone that is brainwashed for them to understand you, there is no way. So I do not waste my fucking time with them. Why do people not question a lot of these things? Why don't they question it? They do not question it because religion offers certainty, community, identity, meaning, and everything that they promise to them, including heaven and all of them. And you challenging all of these things feels destabilizing. And in societies like the whole of Africa that already faces economic and political instability, certainty is extremely necessary. It feels necessary. That is why people will pray for just things that are extremely common that you can get. Things that are human necessity. People will be praying for it and thinking when it happens for them, they will think it is miracle. Things that are just normal, that you get in places where structures and facilities and everything work. People will be praying for it, that it is miracle. So in this situation, questioning control mechanisms can feel like threatening social cohesion. But the thing is that stability that is built on suppression is extremely fragile. Let that sink in. I'm going to leave it there with you. Spirituality without control. It is possible, extremely possible. It is possible to separate spirituality from you being dominated and domination and all of those nonsense. Spirituality can encourage things like introspection, compassion, humility, things like this. But the thing is that control does not seek everything I mentioned. Control seeks obedience. Spiritual maturity seeks understanding. When religion becomes less about love and more about enforcement, it has shifted from guidance to governance. Yes. Yes, and that is what is happening all over our societies in Africa. It is so common. You can see that happen left, right, center, and every fucking where. I want to let each and every one of you know this. If you are listening or you are watching, hear this. Hear me out. If you are religious and this feels uncomfortable for you, that is good. Because discomfort is where thinking begins. This is why I always say to people, learn how to be uncomfortable being comfortable. Discomfort is where you begin to start to reason. That is where your critical thinking will begin, because you'll be asking yourself questions. I hope you are doing that. I want to make this extremely clear. This is not an attack on anybody's belief system, but it is an invitation for you to examine how belief is used. If your faith is strong, it can withstand extreme scrutiny. If it collapses under questioning, it was propped up by fear. It is not every religion that controls, but historically and structurally, it often has. The question is not whether you believe. The question is who benefits from the way belief and belief systems is organized. Ask yourself a lot of these questions. I have done a lot of questioning. I continue to do that. As I always do, I learn every fucking day. I do not know everything. I learn every fucking day. And I continue to learn. Life is a learning curve. If this episode resonated with you, share it with your friends. Share it with other people. Share it, and let people know about the podcast. I want to let you know that you are wonderful. You are not a mistake. You are not a taboo. You are not a phase. Do not allow anybody control you. You can believe in God and use your common sense. I want you to stay thoughtful, stay analytical, and never, ever, ever confuse authority with truth. I have been Charles Okeke. This has been Igbo Queer and Unfiltered Podcast. Thank you so much for joining the movement for visibility, representation, and truth. Thank you so much for being here. Thank you so much for everything. We see you. You see me. We see us. We love us for real. Love is love. Let love lead the way. Have a wonderful time. I will see you in the next one.